96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It has been another very busy news week, and we're at the Reporters Roundtable tonight talking about the top stories. On deck tonight, the deadly school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. White women calling police on black folks who are minding their business. A really woke royal wedding. And D.C.'s mayor is now a new mom. My guests are Janetta Rose Barris, news blogger and executive producer of the Barris Report, James Wright, reporter with the Afro-American Newspapers, and Nairi Berry, content producer with the Oprah Winfrey Network and NBC Universal. Lines are open. We're talking about it. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Welcome all, including Nairi. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So we'll start with you, and let's start with some good news. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is a mom. She announced last night on Twitter that she has adopted a child. We don't know whether it's pink or blue, but she's happy. Your thoughts about this?
Well, I'm very happy for her. You know, we're in a time where women are able to assert themselves and are trying to assert themselves and show that, you know, we are strong and we can do more than one thing and balance more than one thing. And like she said, at this stage in her life, she was ready to make that next step personally. And she's done a great job thus far of keeping her personal life separate from her career. And I think with her track record, she'll do a good job of balancing the two of them. I'm very happy for her.
James?
Well, I'm happy for it, too. I just wish that we in the general public had gotten more signals that she was headed in this direction.
Why?
I understand this is her personal life, yada, yada, yada. But we are very interested in what our public officials do. Look at how we went crazy over Marion Barry. So we are just interested in what the personal lives of our elected officials, particularly the mayor. And like I said, I'm happy for her. But I just wish we had had some signals that this was going to happen instead of just dropping a bomb.
I'm happy for her, but I do have concerns about a single mom, regardless of what your class or economic status might be. I think that, especially in her position, she has meetings in the evening. She has a really tight work schedule. I wonder how much time she's going to be able to devote to her child. Now, maybe she'll do like, Tammy Duckworth and bring the child to the office, you know, and she'll be able to take her child to meetings and stuff like that. But I do think, and this is a girl, her name is Miranda Elizabeth Bowser.
Oh, so we have a scoop.
Yeah, no, it is a daughter. And so from my work, Harold, you know, I do a lot of work with fatherless girls. And so I'm always concerned about what does it mean for the child? You know, we can talk about for the mother, it's great. It's self-satisfying, self-actualization for someone who wants to be a mother. But we have to be concerned about what does it mean for the child?
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. Lots of things to talk about tonight. If you have a question or comment about any of our topics tonight in any order, you're certainly welcome to give us a call. Lines are open again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You know, I'm happy for her, but I will say this. I'm actually happy for the child. And this is why, because when we hear about, particularly in black families, that you know, we are there. There are still there are all kinds of disparities, and mm-hmm. you know, in the Black community, this child will not have to worry about disparities. This child will not have to worry about being connected. This child will not have to worry about education. And as my grandfather used to say, "Lord willing, and the creek don't rise." Mm-hmm. I'm quite sure that when the mayor leaves political life, she won't have any money problems.
Right.
This child will be taken care of. She's got a village around her. Would it be nice for, you know, there to be a strong male figure? Absolutely. But that notwithstanding, I don't think this child is going to be shortchanged.
But I'm not even concerned about the strong male figure involved in her life, because I think surrogates, like you said, will be around.
Right, exactly.
What I'm more concerned about is how much time the mother will be able to spend with her child during the most formative years. Muriel Bowser is running for mayor again. She's in the middle of an election. She will be running again for mayor in November in the general election. And while she does not have any major challenges, it does require a lot of time, a lot of meetings in the evening and weekends, and I mean, I see her schedule every day, and I know how you know, stacked it is. So how much time do you have for nurturing and caring and being around your child? Let's hope, Harold, that your point about everybody else chipping in is good. But you want to be a mother. That's why you adopted. Then you need to make the time to be mother.
Yeah, I'm sure she's given some thought about it.
Harold, I don't want to get in trouble, okay?
Go ahead and get
because
in trouble.
Because I don't like to get in trouble. I am a former member of the National Council of Negro Women, and I support ERA and, you know, abortion rights and all that type of stuff. But I'm concerned that this young woman is going to be raised without a man who's around. I'm very concerned about that. I know she has Marvin and her brothers, Muriel's brothers, but I'm concerned that this young woman will, I hope she doesn't have Miranda doesn't have an Amazon complex, that men are nothing and all that type of waiting to exhale.
Or me tours.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And realize men are valuable. Men can do good things. Men are important.
Nari, so, get James out of trouble, please.
Well, this is the thing. I know that the mayor has thought about this. She knows her schedule, just like we know how busy and hectic it can be. And at this point, she's 45 years old. She wants to grow with this child, and she probably feels like now's the time. It's probably been weighing on her for a long time. And at this point, with when we have the primary coming up in June, and she probably feels like she's in a decent position to be able to maintain what she's doing, maintain her seat, and still have this. And, you know, the biggest concern, obviously, is her job and her role as a public servant. But, you know, there are plenty of people just looking at Hollywood for names that that are recognizable for people. Sandra Bullock, Charlize Theron, people who adopt children and don't have a partner with them. So if those people are able to do it without a whole bunch of scrutiny as far as adopting a child, being a single parent, we have to look at it from that standpoint as far as she's concerned, too.
Would we be saying this if this were a single guy who was high profile adopting a child?
I would.
I don't think we would.
No, I would.
I honestly don't think we would.
I would. I do think that we need to be concerned about how much time we invest in our children on a daily basis. The mayor has decided she's taking a week off from work. That is an indication right there that she knows her schedule is pretty packed. And so she needs time to nurture, to bond with her child during this first week since she just got the baby. And so that is an indication. Is she going to take a week off every 3 weeks, every other month? What is going to be, how are you going to manage that? And so those are considerations, but I take your point, everyone's point, that she's been thinking about this. She obviously believes that she can manage it. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Kiana. Kiana calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Hi there, and thank you for this topic.
Sure.
I had to call in because I feel like if she had the baby naturally, would we be even questioning whether she was fit to do her job? I just don't think that we would. And I think a bigger question is, we're dealing with a woman who chose her career, and now she's at a point where she wants to be a mom. And that's what a lot of women face these days. I'm in my 40s, and I chose my career, and now I want to have a family, but I'm dealing with a whole nother monster, which is infertility. So adoption is, like, definitely my best bet. And I don't think we talk about it enough because we've been so taught and drilled in our mind, you know, get a career, you know, don't have a baby out of wedlock and blah, blah, blah. And she's ideal. She's had her career.
Well,
now she's
but,
ready to be a mom.
But hold on, Kiana, because you said something that kind of struck me. First of all, if the mayor or any high profile female elected official had a natural childbirth and carried a child without being married, we'd be talking about something completely different. Number
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
And number two, adoption is a choice.
Yes.
And we always hear, whether it's adoption advocates or even children that grow up adopted who are well-rounded, they say that they didn't have to make this choice. And so I think
parenting in general, Harold, is a choice.
We
should think about it. The mayor's obviously thought about this, but we should think about it within the context of the child and then the long term of what our situations are in life and what we anticipate our situations to be. Too often we don't do that. We don't give that serious thought to having a child. It's, I want to have a baby. I want to have a baby. He wants us to have a baby. We want to have a baby. Is it the right thing for the baby is the question.
Well, that's, which is why I said, and suffice it to say, and thank you so much, Kiana, for your phone call. You know, we've seen some pretty rotten, stinky kids running around with two parent households too. So, you know, and it's always great to have a good father, good mom, but you know, as a parent, I can tell you it's a crapshoot. Sometimes. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're not just talking about the mayor as a new mother. We're going to talk about this woke royal wedding. Of course, we're going to discuss this horrific, deadly shooting in Texas. And we're going to also talk about walking while black, sitting while black, driving while black, eating while black, coffee while black.
Sleeping while black.
Sleeping while black. And then somebody called barbecuing while black.
Yeah.
Moving into your apartment while black.
Using the restroom while black.
Using the restroom while black.
Exactly.
We're going to get to all of that in just a bit. So please give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. I want to start this next conversation with this right before I go to the break, something that you really need to hear.
When you are loved and you know it, when someone cares for you and you know it, when you love and you show it, it actually feels right.
That's the Most Reverend Michael Bruce Curry. Of course, he gave the loving sermon during the royal wedding this past weekend. Of course, Prince Harry and suit star Meghan Markle, the American boy. We got a lot to talk about, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue. If you're on the line, Marlon, Leslie, stay with us. Lines are open. If you can't get through, please keep trying, because I know you want to get in on this. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Yeah. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the Original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Darling, darling, stand by me.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are at the Reporters Roundtable. Lots to talk about with my guest, Janetta Rose Barris, news blogger and executive producer at the Barris Report, James Wright, reporter for the Afro-American newspapers, and Nyree Berry, content producer with the Oprah Winfrey Network and NBC Universal. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lots to talk about tonight, and anything that you hear about, of course, you're certainly welcome to call in. But I do want to talk about the royal wedding, because I said to my colleagues and to my friends, I wasn't going to watch it, wasn't planning on watching, wasn't interested in it. And I happened to wake up and turn the TV on because I wanted to see the news. And oh,
we all happened to just wake up.
Right. I think a lot of Western Europe woke up after that, that wedding. Your thoughts about it, Nyree? What did Meghan Markle do? What did she change about royal weddings?
I think it was spectacular. I think it was spectacular from top to bottom. I didn't watch the other royal wedding. I watched this one on purpose. I planned to do it. Originally, it was a DVR set situation, but I found myself waking up at 5 in the morning that day. And you know, I really appreciate how she incorporated that side of her and our culture into the wedding in ways that it had never been done before. Apparently, royal weddings only happen during the week. This time it was on a weekend. We heard Bishop Michael Curry stirring, and it just woke up the entire guests that were there. The choir, that rendition of Stand By Me, I was so proud to hear how well they did, and just we were represented well across the board. The cellist.
Yes.
Oh, my God. He was fabulous.
So phenomenally talented.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for anyone that has any kind of misconceptions about black people and black culture, and they're not exposed to it, and I don't, you know, may not have any black friends, and all they see is what they see on television that's a misrepresentation of us. Mm-hmm. From top to bottom, this showed our versatility and how strong and talented we know we are.
Yeah.
And I was just happy to see it and happy that she and Prince Harry weren't afraid to incorporate it.
James.
You know, the thing that was remarkable to me is that this was a black British production. That choir was a black British choir.
So was the cellist.
And the cellist was black and British. And that should open up the world to the fact that the Brits, the African Brits in that country are very talented people, are very hardworking people, and add considerably to the British culture. And we also learned that King George III was married to a black woman. Queen Charlotte was half black. And so this has just opened up the fact that the royal family is really just like anybody else with mixed races and things like that.
Well, I also, what I liked about it is that it opened up the world for us. Many African Americans kind of pigeonhole themselves often. You know, they see themselves within the small confines of the United States. Our history is much broader than that, longer than that, deeper than that. And I think the wedding kind of helped us to see that. When you see the level of talent that we saw with blacks, British blacks, that sort of says, how long have they been there? And, you know,
for the uninitiated,
right?
Yes.
And so it starts to make you understand that you are not a minority.
No.
But in fact, people of color have been around forever, and we're part of that history, heritage, and power base that we often don't tap into. And so that is what I liked about it. And I like that Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, well, the Duke and the Duchess now of Sussex. Were able to be free enough to tap into that and to allow that to be on display as a piece of who they are as well.
Right.
So I really was really proud of that couple. Yes.
My only criticism was that the sermon was too long.
Oh.
It was too long. 5 minutes, hard rap. Let's go. Yeah,
it was long, especially for an Episcopal bishop. You know, I always think of the Episcopalians, you know, they're not as brief as the Catholic, but not as long as the Baptist.
But he's from Chicago.
But he was really into it. He said, wait, I got to stop myself because we got to get married. Right. You know, y'all got to get married, you know, so it was kind of funny. And I thought it was interesting watching the faces. Of the audience, because it was a real initiation to them, not of necessarily kind of the British religious experience, but the American religious experience. You know, so
I will say about 7 minutes in, I was waiting to hear him say, and as I close.
Right. Exactly.
I was with him on the love, but then when he went to fire, I said, oh, he's still going.
He did take a few tangents.
Absolutely. I will say, unfortunately, the heartbreaking thing was that Meghan Markle was not able to have her father there.
Yeah.
And one of the other things is that the only family member was her mother.
Yes.
And Prince Harry's family is humongous.
Yes.
And certainly it was wonderful to see her co-stars from Suits there. And I love the show. If you haven't seen it, you need to binge watch it. It is an amazing show. But I was emotionally impacted because, you know, here is this, you know, this American woman, and she's not some shrinking violet, but she's coming into this incredible world seemingly by herself.
Yeah, but she...
And, you know, I wish her father could have been there.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something to be said for knowing how to... having class in a situation like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he really showed his lack of class.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised, because when they talked about leading up to this wedding, his history and how he was a lighting director, it seemed to me that he would be someone who would know how to have some class in a situation like this.
You would hope.
And, you know, sometimes people can't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
And he, you know, his mentality, it seems, was to capitalize off of this. Rather than, even if you wanted to capitalize, I don't see how there's a way you couldn't. Your daughter is going to be the princess.
Right.
Lay low, attend the wedding, walk her down the aisle, and if your intention is to reap benefits, see if you can reap some benefits. But everybody on that kind of side of her family, unfortunately, those half-brothers and sisters, her siblings, showed their hand in a terrible way really could have just made her look really bad. But she remained dignified. Everyone remained dignified. And I think it's best he wasn't there, because seeing what happened leading up to it, it was her moment. It was her time to shine. And I'm not sure if he would have been as classy as her mother was to sit there and just let their daughter have this moment.
Yeah, yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tiana, calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm giving a call to follow up with you all's topic about Mayor Muriel Bowser being ready for her little bundle of joy that she's adopting.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving a call because I actually feel like that question is a little far-fetched, because that when you ultimately think about it, that baby is gaining a new home. And granted, it may not be with the dad. It's just still her not being caught up in a system that so many children get caught up in every day. And being a mom who was able to give birth naturally, I think that we have to think about women do this all the time. We are strong and powerful where we are able to work and both be mom and
super mom at work as well. I think that she put herself in this situation because she knew that she had the resources and the help in order to be mom and to be mayor. I think that we can't have our minds capped at, okay, she has a busy schedule. Well, you know, she'll take the time that's needed. I think that she's at this point in her life where she felt that she's capable of doing that and willing to put things in a back burner if she needs to. I still think she has enough time to back down from a race if she chose to, but I think it's kind of, I don't want to say offensive because I am a mom myself, but I don't think it's fair to say that since she's going to be working and have a heavy schedule that she's not allowed to have this joy in her life and to help a child as well to have a healthy home as well, even though there may not be a dad in the picture. There's always resources where you can have a great father figure in that picture.
Okay. Well, Tiana, thank you so much for sharing that with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I need to move on to the next topic. Certainly, if there is anything that you want to discuss related to something that we've already talked about, you're certainly welcome to join the conversation again at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk a little bit about doing while being black. We've had the start and that, because
I
that's
like the way you put that.
Yeah,
doing
do whatever it is that you're doing, but you also happen to be doing it while you're black. The way things are looking right now, it seems to be more likely than not that you could very well have the police called on you. We've seen that happen, of course, in Starbucks in Philadelphia with those two young men that were waiting for someone to talk about a business opportunity. We've seen that recently with Bob Marley's granddaughter when she and friends were staying at an Airbnb and police were called on her. There was a gentleman who was pushing his child in a park and police were called because if you're a black man pushing a stroller with a baby, it doesn't just get any more suspicious than that when it happens in a park. And of course, a former Obama aide moving into his apartment and someone decides to call the police on him. First of all, this is just, I know it's funny, but it's not funny. You know, Janetta, what should we know, first of all, about our rights and what's going on?
Here's what I think it is.
Because you look dangerous to me.
Yeah, I am.
I would call the police.
And I am dangerous. And I want them to know I'm dangerous. But here's what I think is going on. I think that the notion of African Americans in the 21st century is so very different. I mean, the way we have achieved the level of success, the versatility of us, is sometimes startling to people who've never had us around them. So you've got people in all these different levels of being and doing where people have stereotyped us and they don't know how to respond when they realize that what they have thought is not really what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's partly what's going on. It's like we go all the way back to Henry Louis Gates when the police were called on him and he's opening the door trying to get into his own house. Oh, no, it can't be his house because it's way too big and way too elegant. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you can't be pushing a baby because you're a black man. And we know what black men do. They certainly don't take care of their children. So it's that kind of stereotyping and, you know, poor imaging that has been the result of, I would say, some of it in the media, some of the storytelling and narratives that we have. And then we have a fool in the White House.
James, your thoughts about this.
Let me capitalize on what Janetta just said about the fool in the White House. When you have a president who is so ambiguous and hostile in terms of race relations, when you have a president who's just not plain interested in race relations at all, and he embraces ignorant comments by Kanye West about slavery in 400 years and being a choice, That we know that's foolishness, but to Joe Bob out in Kansas or in Texas, where I'm from, you know, that's on television, that's on Fox. Therefore, that's right.
Yeah. But hold on. But let me stop you there. And I'm not defending President Trump at all. But what does that have to do with the fact that if you see a black guy pushing a baby carriage mm-hmm. in the park, that you should call the police?
It just reinforces the stereotype of what Janetta just talked about, that black men are not worth that. And that black women have no business moving into white neighborhoods, Airbnb, whatever that is.
Airbnb.
Yeah, that's new to me. So that just reinforces that black people have no business doing those things.
I need to take a break. Let's make this a short break. We want to come back. I'll ask Nyree what she thinks of this doing while black thing. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We'll be back in just a bit. We are talking at the Reporters Roundtable, talking about doing while black and the fact that we are having white people, specifically white women, call the police on us. Nyree, your thoughts about where this is going and why this is happening.
Well, where this is going, you know, unfortunately, throughout history, we, as Janetta was saying, are a resilient people. We have done so much. And there are, unfortunately, a lot of white people who don't like that, that don't like that we are intelligent, don't like that we are able to function, unlike their way of thinking, like the probably animals that they want to portray us as. And to see us doing anything that's normal, anything that shows that we're a free people, to some people it bothers them. So what their plan is to call the police on us any chance they get. Because all of these things that we've mentioned are not offenses that anybody would call the police on somebody for doing. Pushing a stroller, leaving an Airbnb, all of these things are absolutely ridiculous. But the thing is to mentally, and that's a big part of the problem that we're having to this day, mentally continue to make us fearful to do regular things. Mm-hmm. And the more they call the police on us doing regular things, their hope is the more we'll be fearful to do those regular things and shrink. But we're not a people that shrink.
Well, but I think to put a fine point on it, we are also in an era of if you see something, say something. And we hear that a lot. So suffice it to say that what we just saw happening in Baltimore County yesterday, mm-hmm. where police have reported that you see four teenage black boys walking around houses mm-hmm. in the middle of the day when common sense would suggest Baltimore County schools are still in. They look school age.
Yeah,
you need to call the police. Please. And it is horrific that see something, say something ended up the way that it did. Horrible for the Baltimore County Police Department, for that officer's family, but also we still don't know the whole story about the backgrounds of these four black teenagers and how they got to this point. And so it is a tragedy all the way around. But that notwithstanding, as Shakespeare says, revenge is a dish best served cold. We've mm-hmm. seen this meme of this woman out in California with the phone.
I loved it.
And I think that other than the guy pushing the stroller, that has to be the most ridiculous thing, to call the police because you're using charcoal instead of gas at a city park.
And the thing is, there are no repercussions. I think that's a big part of the problem as well. If it's something like the barbecue incident, there need to be repercussions for someone calling the police on something like that. Now, what you mentioned about kids who probably should be in school at that time in a neighborhood, that's, like you mentioned, more understandable than this barbecue offense.
Yeah.
And they need to be just as scared about calling the police for no reason. which is what that was.
Absolutely. But before we wrap up, I do want to briefly touch on in these last handful of minutes about this horrific situation at Santa Fe High School in Texas. You know, 10 people dead, 9 students, a substitute teacher, some 10 other people injured, a student who, from all reports, perhaps was rejected by, you know, by a girl who stood up to him, perhaps embarrassed him in class, but still, you know, stood up to him. This is a different situation, James, only to the extent that this wasn't an AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
This was a shotgun.
Yes.
And he also had a revolver, according to investigators. But we are seeing a different kind of reaction here
mm-hmm.
than we saw in Parkland. Is it because it's Texas as opposed to Florida?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes, it is because it's Texas, because in Texas, and I'm a Texan, there's a mentality that you have a right to have a gun and you have a right to use it whenever you want to use it. And what I really don't like is the fact that this young man actually took the guns of his father's
mm-hmm.
and to kill these people. But, you know, some folks think, well, you know, we got to protect our Second Amendments in Texas. And that's ridiculous, Harold. It's just plain ridiculous.
I'm with the former Supreme Court Justice Stevens. I think we should really think about repealing the Second Amendment. I know it's a long haul. It's a steep climb. But we should be having that kind of conversation. When the Second Amendment was passed, we were in an entirely different environment. Right now, we have a Defense Department. We have National Guard. We have police in every city, every county, every state. You know, you really are overprotected in some instances. In a place like D.C., we have so many police officers. My God, it's ridiculous. And so I really think that we need to have that conversation. And I know that there are petitions that have been going around for a while about this. And likely it will never happen because of the process of amending the Constitution. But I think it's a conversation we need to have. We don't need any guns, really.
Nairi?
I agree. The Second Amendment issue needs to be addressed. I mean, this is just, it's happening too frequently. It's happening with children too frequently. And I think a lot of the onus is on the parents. This gentleman, his father, they said that he was charged with 2 misdemeanors for assault earlier in his life. And I mean, that in no way foreshadowed what his son would do, but I'm just saying parents have to take a stronger hold on what their children are doing and what's happening in these schools with their kids and have a better relationship with them.
Also, I think that there needs to be a discussion about coping.
Yes. Yes.
Coping with life and the fact that in life, you're gonna win sometimes, you're gonna lose sometimes.
No, you're not. You're supposed to win all the time.
You're supposed
right.
to. Exactly. And the fact that, you know, not everybody is going to get a yes when you ask the girl to the prom. Not everybody is going to get a yes when I'm telling my age, when maybe I can advance this for 2018.
Yeah.
Can I carry your iPad and walk you to class?
Yes, yes, yes.
And if she says no, okay.
Yeah.
Instead of going, and I'm not even talking about deadly violence, but I'm talking about going into this funk and not being able to understand that sometimes you hear no. Sometimes you are on the baseball team or the volleyball team, and if you lose, you don't get a trophy.
Right.
That's right.
And I think that there's just so much work that needs to be done in parenting, modern parenting, about losing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think you're right. And part of what, I mean, his father said, well, he was bullied. Well, if you knew he was being bullied, it seems to me you would have had a conversation with him like the one you're talking about, Harold. And you would have taken yourself, up to the school to have a conversation about my son being bullied.
Yes.
Instead of after the fact, now you blame being bullied for what your child has done. I mean, that you therefore were not a very good parent when you knew all of this was happening with your child, and you did nothing but stand back.
Mm-hmm. And on the bullying issue, that more than anything else, and I'm not even remotely suggesting that the kind of violent retaliation, it should be the end result.
Yeah.
But if I'm a bully and I've seen the results of from Columbine all the way up to Santa Fe, it's time to thank you. It is time to get out of the bullying business and find a punching bag or something because I don't want to tick anybody off that much where I have to look over my shoulder.
Well, but you know, Harold, we're in a society that kind of embraces bullying from the president all the way down.
Very true.
You've set up a situation where bullying has become the norm. They don't call it bullying. They call it standing up for your rights, standing up for yourself, asserting yourself. It's all these other euphemisms that are used to kind of make it okay to do. And so we have to kind of change the culture in this society so that we are, I hate to say this because it sounds kind of hokey, but a gentler kind of society than we are at this stage in America and in general in some parts of the world.
Well, I disagree with you about the White House piece too, and I strongly disagree because just 2 weeks ago the First Lady came out and said, "Be best."
She needs to spend a whole lot of time with her husband if she want to be best.
Yes. 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 Yes.
If he can't be best, I want you all to to be
exactly.
And do it bigly.
Hugely. Next time, we definitely need to have Nairi in studio because I want to thank all of you for coming in and participating in this. Of course, Janetta Rose Barris, Nairi Berry, and of course, James Wright. This was a good one.
Thank you.
This was a really, really good one. History. And, you know, I only wish, you know, hey, we should have, you know, maybe the mayor should have had a middle name like Statey, like for statehood for the baby. You know, how about that?
Oh, yes, no. Yes. You know? Who wants to saddle a child with that?
Thank you all so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, May 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for the connection with Lorna.